today is Thursday, January the 23rd, 23rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, the swamp commander for the CHP, Adam Yeager.
Hey, Gary.
Hello.
Boy, so what did you think about the state's budget as proposed by the governor? Were you jumping up and down doing cartwheels?
I'll stay reserved on that.
You want the CHP to be a higher priority still, huh?
We've done well to live within our budget means, and given lots of back over the last several years. So
good. Well, we'll talk a little bit about what some of the impacts are of the state budgets. Yeah, sometimes we don't see how it trickles down to our local jurisdictions. So we'll spend a little bit of time talking about that. Some of the new rules that are out there and whatever else Adam might have sneak into his head when he has a really weak moment. Or perhaps a really strong moment. We'll find out when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, news and information time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Adam Yeager. But before we do our quote this afternoon, I've got a Jane Mansfield quote. You've heard of her, I'm sure.
Yes.
Okay. And what's the other one? Robin Morgan, who I don't even recognize.
We'll pick Jane.
All right, Jane Mansfield. Sometime between 1932 and 1967. She died when she was 35. Wow. Okay. Quote, men are creatures with two legs and eight hands.
Is it too late to pick the other?
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, that's frightening. 35, I wonder why she died. I bet you that's something we can look up and find out. Adam, when you are looking at any time the governor goes close to a budget, close to a microphone discussing budget, does your heart tend to go pitter-patter in excitement, or do you hold your breath in concern?
A little bit of both, but you know, I got a lot of confidence in our people. Our commissioner was here just Tuesday, and
didn't bring him by again, I noticed.
I didn't. I'm sorry. We made it to Fortuna and gave Fortuna PD.
Oh, so you went by us. Oh.
Went to Fortuna PD and gave them their law enforcement challenge award, which was really pretty neat.
That's kind of cool stuff,
isn't
it?
It was good. And for him to come all the way up and do that, he wanted to come up and personally deliver that. They've been very active in that for since 2003, which is they do well for a small department. Very proactive, and it's good.
You sure you don't want to say that just a little bit more positive? They do well for a small department.
No.
Perhaps they do well?
They do very well, yes.
All right.
Yes. And I said small department because they won the they break it down on the awards for, so their department's 1 to 19 officers. So they're graded against like departments. So, but thanks for.
I just thought I'd point that one out.
But anyway, we've been, you know, struggling over the last several years during these hard times, and our commissioner's done an outstanding job at cutting where we can cut, and it hurts. We've lost over 700 positions over the last 3 years. So all of our areas are kind of suffering that way, but we do have the academy up and running, and we're starting to see some headway and with our budget, and got the new patrol cars, and we're on the process of doing
that. Is that reflective of the budget, or is that just it's time to replace our stock and we have to replace our stock and it was an opportunity to upgrade?
Well, it's reflective of the last cycle. So we're in the process, and it really comes from us saving a lot of money, and but we got to a point where we need to replace our cars. So.
So if you had, let's say the CHP gets a 5% bump, just to grab a figure. It could be 10, it could be, you know, 1, doesn't matter. The commissioner then looks at it, and he and his senior cabinet then start to do the allocating of it. Does each division get their whatever and however you would derive it, a fair share, and be able to then allocate it how you want? How does that trickle down through into the system?
It's done in Sacramento with our headquarters, and then it trickles out. But they're making most of the decisions and laying it out for us.
So you get a figure to work with, or do you even get to play with the coins?
I have a little bit of a figure to work with when it comes to overtime and my facility, but very small coin.
So if you wanted to paint the building, for example, that might be putting you in a tough budget situation.
Yes.
You don't have hundreds or thousands of dollars to
I
be
don't.
Able to play with.
I don't. And we haven't had a lot of money. I mean, every year our budget has gotten lower and lower to buy new equipment and to do facility repair. And we have to prioritize and be lucky if we get our top pick. So
if there was a couple bucks free, what would you throw it to?
Right now, if it went towards our facility, we need some work our facility. It's old, but there's a lot of other areas like Crescent City, for example, and Quincy area for Northern Division that are living out of trailers and their offices are in dire need, worse than ours. But so.
Well, you don't like those cinder blocks with the little starburst in the center of them that were so fashionable in the 60s?
Yeah, no. we've almost outgrown our facility, but we're managing.
Because of equipment, because dispatch, because you don't have more officers now, do you?
We have more originally than we had when they started in the 60s. Yeah, we do definitely have more officers in the office than that. It's just the office is old and the locker rooms are small and there weren't as many women on the highway patrol, so the women's locker room is very small. /bathroom/locker room, and then we have support staff, a lot of extra support staff with commercial and division personnel, and so we're running.
If I can wave lean and mean,
if I can wave a magic wand, I'd love to have a new office. So,
KINS, new office building or office for yourself?
New office building.
Man, I'm saving every time. I'm having to save them. It's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Adam Yeager. Adam, it's interesting for me, and I don't know if it's because we're all a little bit more sensitive to it or what's going on, but whether we call it the safety corridor or the highway between Eureka and Arcata, that it seems to have been the focal point for anything to do with highway work in our area, unless it happens to have redwood trees through it or be willets. Everything, you know, the Humpty thing, the roundabout, the overpass, the billboards, the trails, the speed, the dun, 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 dun. Is it really as critical an 8-mile stretch is what it seems to be with all the attention that it is garnering?
I think so. I think what our big concern is the intersections, as any old intersection, and the amount of traffic that travels between Eureka and Arcata and McKinleyville. The speed, you know, I know when there's not a lot of traffic, we have a speed issue. But when traffic is going, the actual, you know, 85% of the people are only going 54 miles an hour or below. Really hard to enforce when there's that much cars out there. But those intersections are really concerning to us. There's a lot, if you go out there and watch, a lot of people darting across the road when there's cars coming and cutting people off, and there's not a lot of it's hard to merge, and people aren't being polite and letting
civility
people merge. Letting people merge and not try to keep people from merging, and people merging properly by accelerating and trying to get in between cars. So, but
that one seems to be a two-blade sword. You get the old creepy, 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 and then they merge, but they're going 30.
Right.
Or the guy is coming like a bat out of hell who knows that it's their right, and I don't care if you're a loaded cement truck, get your butt over in the other lane, kind of an attitude. Right. What is the vehicle code for merging? Who has what priority? Who has what legal responsibilities? What's the legal thing to do? What's the proper thing to do?
The proper thing to do is be polite and let people merge in, but they have, the people merging in have to be, they have to do it safely, and they do not have the right of way, so they need to get in there safely. But like you said, the proper thing to do would be for people to let them merge in and not be rude. You're going to be seeing a lot more enforcement out there here in the coming year. We have some office traffic safety grants out of our Northern Division office for DUI enforcement and speed enforcement. So you're going to see a lot more officer presence. And I know Eureka PD is doing the same on the city area. You're going to see a lot, and it's going to be focused on those intersections and people doing the right thing. And we'll be working on speed too, and the DUIs at nighttime. And
now, when you do that, there'll be a percentage that will try to use older Arcata or Samoa. Is that part of the equation?
It is.
You also include, no sneaky guys.
No.
We gotcha.
Yeah, absolutely. We understand what it's like for Old Arcata Road in Manila, and actually, you know, we probably focus more of our efforts on those roads and get more complaints on Samoa and out on Old Arcata Road, Jacoby Creek, and Bayside, where we're trying to focus on that. But the Office of Traffic Safety grants will help because obviously there's one officer that's assigned to all those beats and can't be everywhere at one time. And
so you'll have one individual working speeding, so to speak, consistently on one of those three.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we will. If not, so what if not, what more is, than if more you, than one.
If you've one plus.
One plus.
So if you've got 85% compliance, what's a win? I mean, 100%, okay. I mean, you can chase it, probably spend millions of dollars and finally get there. I would think if 85%, what is 60 miles an hour? Is that like 95, 97% compliance?
Yeah, I don't know what that number is, but you have those that are out there that completely go in 60, 65. But geez, not during peak time, because you get two cars doing
just
50
can't.
Side by side. You just can't. And, off-peak times, there's people out there they're going too fast. But they're usually the ones that are sitting at the red light at the beginning of Eureka when you catch up to them doing the speed limit. So, and they didn't make any progress, and that's where, you know, we try to get that out that, you know, you're not saving any time.
And you guys probably really enjoy being able to tap on the window.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Say, hi, yeah. You remember me?
But
So as you're doing all of this stuff, what is the public's expectation? How realistic can we be? I know, you know, you got all those slow down for our neighborhood signs in Samoa, but people are going the speed limit. Okay, well, if they're going the speed limit, you guys can't really do anything.
No, but sometimes just having a visual presence out there. That's why we, our officers are out there in school zones and out there in the commute. And I think
those speed bumps take care of the school zones, man.
No, that's true.
Boy, talk about a backache.
But
if you're not paying attention,
it helps people. It helps people behave when they see a police car sitting there. So a lot of the times, it's visual works just fine for enforcement. So
imagine that.
Yeah, imagine that.
If we're paying attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, and those camo cars really kind of defeat the purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Adam Yeager.
A decade of difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Adam Yeager. Adam is the area commander for the California Highway Patrol. The billboard situation going on out in the corridor. It's kind of interesting for me. I think of tractor tipping. Was it Cars? Wasn't that the movie where they tipped the tractors?
Yeah.
So you see all the billboards face up and the legs in the air, or face down in the air.
Another one with cow tipping.
Yeah. 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 Well, you know, see, I never really spent a lot of time in Ferndale or in the bottom. Okay. So, okay. Yeah. Apparently you did on a couple Friday nights.
Yeah. A lot of kid movie time.
Okay. Fair enough. These billboards are being... I guess you can't say defaced.
They're being felony vandalism. They're being
vandalized, cut. I guess, yeah, is probably, yeah, the simplest term. Is this ha-ha, giggle-giggle? Is this serious as a heart attack? Where does this situation with this person, who obviously is not a billboard fan, where does that rank on the scale for you folks?
It's a high of importance for us in the sheriff's office. The sheriff's actually taken the lead role on it, and so is Arcata PD for the one that was in their area. But you know, we're being very diligent about trying to get out and try to stop or interview anybody that stopped along the highway or maybe suspicious. But and we're asking that of the public too. If they see anything suspicious, to let us know. They can let.
So what would be a trigger? I mean, we've seen people walking on the railroad track beds for years, so that probably wouldn't be an automatic trigger to give you guys a call. What would you be look? Well, okay, if you have a chainsaw on your back and a flashlight and a miner's hat, that would probably be, right, a pretty good clue that, right, something goofy was going on. But what would be an indicator?
Well, at this point, I think anybody stopped on the highway at nighttime or in the early morning hours, anywhere near, either sitting in the car or if you see people walking near that look suspicious, wearing hoodies. We have a photo of one with a sweatshirt on, wearing a hoodie, trying to cover up their identity.
So it's obvious that this person knows what they're doing isn't for the community benefit. They're,
yes,
trying to hide themselves.
It appears that way, allegedly.
So what? What do you mean, allegedly? The board is down, dude.
It is.
There's not a lot of variability, yeah, on that one. Is it just those three that keep getting hit over and over, or are you seeing more and more? You know, is the goal to go from Arcata to Eureka?
I'm speculating that it's to try to get as many as they can. That would be what, you know, and I think probably, and I'm just speculating, that if they think they can cut them down, then they can't be put back up. But
They can be repaired.
They can be repaired, and they can be, yeah.
Now, there are a couple of them that are going to go down because of the overpass, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever
and
it's called.
Sure. I know that was an agreement with the Coastal Commission and Caltrans when they, that was one of the stipulations for the overcrossing in Eola. I'm not sure which ones or all of that, but I know that was a concession on it.
Is there a thought that this is, it wouldn't be environmental the aggressive environmental community doing this? Is this a one individual thing? I mean, we go back to the old days, you know, and there was a lot of criminal activities associated with environmental perspectives. Is there anything that's saying that there's anything going on here, or is this just one clown acting independently?
I think we just got one clown that's acting independently, and there's nothing to indicate anything otherwise.
Yet. Or yeah. At this point, I guess, would be. Yeah, I can never write a press release for you. I might save your butt when we're talking, but I leave words in there like that that would just get people all fired up and excited about different things. Do you run into a lot of vandalism as something that you and the office have to deal with on any kind of a basis?
We do, unfortunately. And car people, you know, they break down in their car, they run out of gas, they leave their car there, and there are places in the county where that car's left out there for an hour, and people drive by and break out windows and take tires and slash tires, and there's a lot of that going on.
Really?
That's why we, you know, if it's left on the highway, they have 4 hours to get it off. But a lot of these cars, they'll leave a note saying we're going to come back in the morning, or they'll tell us they're going to leave it there if it's not on the highway, on a side road. And we always have to warn them that there's a possibility it's going to get vandalized. So, and it's weird. It just happens in a lot of the rural areas that.
Just hoodlums kind of thing?
That's what I think. You know, opportunists sometimes maybe breaking the windows to see if there's something valuable inside. But when tires get slashed and or shot at as they drive by it, or I think a lot of it's just being ornery. Yeah.
So if folks do that, is there, I would imagine that there's a crime being committed.
Yeah.
Are you able to find who these individuals are with any kind of
success? We're not having much luck at that. I mean, it's you got to catch them in the act and be in the right place at the right time. And
oh, really? It has to be in the act? I couldn't see it and then give you a buzz and say, hey.
You could. We have a witness that sees a license plate. We want that, and we can go investigate. And especially if we can identify somebody would help. Absolutely. So
wearing a hoodie with a chainsaw on his back.
Right. Yeah. Right. But unfortunately, you know, there's not a lot of eyewitnesses to that, or if there is, they're not coming forward. But
so is there any scenario that you would suggest somebody leave a vehicle on the side of the road instead of calling a tow company or having somebody bring stuff and take care of it as they are there?
Yeah, we recommend that you try to get the car out as soon as possible and not leave it. And even on a side road, you know, try to get a tow, try to get a friend out there, try to do something to get the car out and as soon as possible.
If you do have to pull over to the side of the road, when do you use flares? If I'm presuming it's getting dark. If you're fully in a pullout?
Yeah, if you're fully if you're in a pullout and you're safely on the other side of the white line on the roadway edge and you're not in the roadway, you know, we turn our lights off because DUIs are attracted to our lights. And so we have numerous, you know, where officers are hit from people that are attracted to the lights. But yeah, if you're off the road completely, you're okay. You don't need a flare. I know, you know, you'll see trucks, they have to put out their little triangles. That's the law. But you don't, you know, if you're off the road, you don't need that.
Really? Like moths to a light?
Well, we always say stay, you know, be careful getting out on the driver's side. Stay on the right side of the car. If you're going to be in your car, wear your seatbelt. If you're waiting for a tow truck, and be very cautious about walking around the car and what you do on the driver's side of the car, on traffic side. Very dangerous.
KINS, News and Information Times 343. We'll be back with more from Adam Yeager.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:47. 2.5 minutes of pure heaven left with Adam Yeager. Huh? You like the way I build up the expectation there?
See if he'd bail me out again.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, sometimes we can, sometimes we can't. You've been what, in the chair 8-9 months now?
Yes.
Is it what you thought it would be?
Yeah, it's not a lot different than working in Garberville. And, I mean, as far as the job, it's a little different. I have the dispatch center, but being up here, you know, I get to work.
You know how frightening that is for a lot of people who just heard you say that.
Uh-oh.
It's the same as working in Southern Humboldt?
Well, it's, yeah. It's the job description of what the CHP does. Thank you. But
that's five.
Yeah. But, no, working up here with the other allied agencies is nice. I mean, down there you had to work, which wasn't a bad thing, but working with Mendocino, so you were kind of torn between two counties with Southern Humboldt and Northern Mendocino. But up here, I see some great things happening here with the new chief in Eureka, Andy, and with Sheriff Downey and Under Sheriff Hansel and Wayne Cox, who's the DA, senior DA investigator. And
is it weird that all these guys, other than Andy, the new guy on the block, all kind of grew up together, all kind of knew each other,
you know,
socially as well as professionally? It seems to me like it's a really unique opportunity for our area. And the same with Bill in Fortuna, you know, another local guy.
Yep, and Tom Chapman in Arcata.
And your guy, your replacement. I mean, just everybody just kind of seeming, could this be a glory time for us?
I think it is. I think it's, you know, we have our monthly chief meeting, and it's been a long time since I've seen this kind of relationship and sharing ideas and talking about the future and good things that we can do for the community and law enforcement working together. We're going to start helping out with Eureka a little bit on Broadway and 4th and 5th Street since it is US 101. So as our units drive through town, you're going to see a little bit more enforcement from the Highway Patrol to help Eureka out there with their pedestrian problem and their accident problem on those streets. And I know they just got a grant from Office of Traffic Safety too, which is excellent, so they can do a little bit more stepped up enforcement on traffic. But no, the relationship is it's exciting. It really is.
Thanks for coming by.
Wow.
Don't get too excited though.
That was a fast 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes when you get that right question.
I just got on a roll.
That's yeah. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone, you'll see you tomorrow.